Best Buy has changed its loyalty campaign. It has essentially stopped asking consumers to pay for their loyalty plan. And Greg, I know that you had some thoughts on that in terms of the history of it. Can you give me a run through? Why did they initially go this way, which was not the conventional way to go, charging for a courtesy card, and why have they flipped now?
Well, the launch of this program pretty much corresponded with a very public statement by Chairman and CEO Brad Anderson to look at their customers at Best Buy and begin to address a couple of things. One, who are our best customers at Best Buy? Can we identify them by name and what they buy? And number two, how do we eliminate those customers that are essentially cherry pickers or people that go and buy stuff and then they come back and return it often, trying to take advantage of rebates? Or what they were seeing is actually people that would buy something, they'd bring it back, it'd be an open box item that they have to discount on the sales floor, and that same person would come in then and buy it off the sales floor at 15% off the price. They were trying to eliminate that group. So those two things were going on at the same time. So originally what they did is they said, if we can get people to pay for this loyalty program, a couple things happen. One, we understand who our best customers are because they're willing to do this. And number two, we underfund the actual IT process and project dollars that are required to pull this type of project off. And they were very successful at it, and they have been and continue to be. At last check, there were over 7 million consumers who have paid $10 each for 1 to 2 years, depending on the length of their service there. And, you know, that's $70 million a year that they get up front before they send out any points. Now, what they've also found is that the typical loyalty card holder spends 130% more than a non-loyalty card holder. And that's a very powerful number when you look at how do I increase sales going forward. I've got this group of 7 million loyal customers. What happens if I could broaden that to 30 million or 40 million by reducing the rate or getting rid of the cost up front? We've already paid for the system to make this work, so we don't have that anymore. We've already identified our best customers up front because those are the ones that are willing to spend to be a part of the program. Now let's see if we can increase the number of our good customers to 3 to 4 times that, what it is today, and be able to identify them by name.
By virtue of the fact they're willing to pay $10, that indicates that they absolutely intend to spend a good, healthy amount of money at Best Buy. So the fact that you're actually getting money from them is a critical qualifier. By making it free, isn't that going to eliminate one of the key advantages? Now anyone can get it. There's no reason they won't. And it no longer is a slice of your best customers. It could be a slice, for that matter, of all your customers.
Well, but the difference is now you're identifying those people by name. So now whenever that person buys a CD, they want credit for that, and you know who likes Madonna or who likes Pink or somebody else that they didn't know previously unless they paid with a credit card. So they're now able to get the purchase behavior of a much larger group of folks.
Right, so in a sense, you're expanding out the horizons from not just identifying who's your best customer, because they did take some heat, as I recall. They did take some heat over the notion of sort of weeding out the cherry pickers, as I recall, and rightly so, I think. So you're saying the goal is now moved to not, let's not just worry about our best customers, but let's also look at the average as well.
I think there's also another dynamic going on, which is that Best Buy is in the midst of a pretty innovative customer segmentation project for all of their stores, where they're trying to identify, you know, which stores fall within certain profiles and consumer segments that they've identified. And a large part of identifying and knowing who, which stores fall into which segments is knowing your customer base. Best Buy is, you know, one of the top 10 retailers in America, and its loyalty program only has 7 million customers. By opening it, you open up the possibility of really understanding, you know, which stores truly fall into which segments. and you're able to broaden that that information gathering process, you know, much more than you would have otherwise. And to lose $70 million, you know, which has been amassed over time, you know, is probably not that big of a deal for Best Buy, when the trade-off is that you can really better customize a store experience because of this new information that you're gathering.
You're absolutely right. And there's two or three major technology things coming down the line for consumer electronics. Obviously, if you don't have a flat panel TV at this point in time, or an HD type TV, this Christmas is the year for that, and prices are dropping very fast. Number two is Microsoft, you know, and all these guys have now come out with these new portable entertainment things. Microsoft announced the Zune, that's coming out. And third is we're entering in a period of people buying new PCs when Windows Vista comes out. Now, that's not supposed to be out before the holidays, but they are now announcing that if you buy a Vista-ready PC, you'll get a coupon for a free upgrade to help with the Christmas sales. So by expanding this loyalty plan now before the Christmas holidays, they are essentially trying to tap into these three big motions that are going on in consumer electronics.
The one thing that keeps flipping over my mind is that it makes sense now to expand the program, to make it available to all their customers. If that is the case now, why was the $10 program, did that make sense then, and it's now no longer makes sense, or it always made sense for 2 years, but there's no reason to do it beyond it?
Yeah, I think there's just two goals, two different goals. One, if you've got an open program where everybody can join, you find out who your best customers are by mining through all the data and really digging into that loyalty data, and that's where they're at now. But if you've got somebody who's willing to pay just to join the club, then you're looking at people that are buying high-ticket items, and you're able to identify those people as being your high-margin and best customers. So why they started off that way, I think it was really to identify who are our best customers and what's the fastest way for us to identify them, and of which these loyalty cards and charging for them was the best way to do that. Well, I don't think the intent when they set out was to charge for a little while and then not charge. I think what they have realized is that the percentage more, that 130% more that people buy when they have that loyalty card, is such a strong incentive to increase the number of people that have that loyalty card, that they looked at it and said, how's the best way for us to increase that number? Well, let's make it free now. I don't think that was the original plan. I think this has succeeded well beyond their expectations, and that's why they're dropping the fee.
My hypothesis, Evan, is I think that a large part of the reason of why now really has a lot to do with their segmentation strategy, and the fact that they pretty much you know, got it off the ground like about a year and a half ago, kind of defining who their segments are, and now it's they're in execution mode. So, and this is one of those tactical pieces of execution that, you know, can get them to helping segment their customer base.